We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's 12:33.
Whoa, yeah, afternoon. We've been here a while already.
I frequently read the clock wrong, and it's like 10 feet in front of my face. In fact, there are some that are closer to me. I don't know why.
And it's not one of the old-fashioned clocks.
No,
with
although
the
I
face
do know how to read that.
It's actual numbers.
Yeah, and yet still, it seems like I always get it wrong at this time. It's 12:33 on KMBZ. Dan Weinbaum's in for John Grayson, who's recovering from a bit of a cough today. So next story comes to us out of NPR. After a two-year battle, the Philadelphia nonprofit Safe House says next week it'll open the first space in the United States where people struggling with addiction can use opioids and other illegal drugs under the supervision of trained staff. The announcement today came a day after a federal judge issued a final ruling declaring the facility does not violate federal drug laws that solidified an earlier decision in October. And so this legalizes this supervised injection facility, or what advocates call an overdose prevention site. It is used elsewhere. It is used in Canada and in parts of Europe, but this would be the first time that we would have something like this in the United States, in a space in which drug users bring in their own drugs and administer them themselves while under the watch of medical staff who have naloxone to reverse the effect of an overdose.
Huh.
Safe House officials say the initiative is aimed at saving lives and providing a bridge to treatment amid a worsening opioid crisis. They say it is a medical decision. It is a medical model in order to prevent people from dying of drug overdoses.
I get it.
And we'd love to hear from you, 229-8577-798.
I get it. It's like, instead of people shooting up, popping pills, using being hidden, mm-hmm. trying to hide, they're in the cars or they're at home or wherever, they're in the bathroom at work, wherever they are, come here, do what you're going to do because you're addicted, you can't stop, won't stop, whatever. Do it here, mm-hmm. and let's talk about getting you some help.
Yes, but some people say, and we're having this conversation a lot, right, about the very existence of naloxone, not just providing them a safe space to take the drugs they want to take, but then you have medical professionals there standing by.
To ready, bring them back.
Right, kind of, as some people would say, condoning the behavior that you don't want condoned. Some of you are asking questions on the text line about police, and yes, we're going to address that. So where these are going to go, and I think so far they've said the first facility would be in South Philadelphia. Keep in mind, nationwide, more than 68,000 people overdosed in 2018. And in Philadelphia, they say they have the highest death rate of any big city in America when it comes to drug overdoses. Three times that of Chicago, which is number two, and five times that of New York in terms of size. So they say 3 to 5 people die of an overdose every day in Philadelphia. Local police have previously committed to taking a hands-off approach to the site.
Okay.
Because you're right, to the texters that are saying, that's easy target then. You just wait for them outside the door. You assume they're going in to do drugs and you arrest them outside.
Here's the thing. What's the goal here? Really, what's the goal? I don't think the goal is to set up a drug shooting house so we can have parties.
I don't think the goal is to enable
drugs. Party. Bring your pills. Bring your heroin.
Yeah.
We're going to party and the cops ain't going to touch us. No, that's not the goal here. The goal here is to what?
I think the goal is for the people who are going to do this anyway, you figure you give them a space where they medically will be safe. If you know that, you're right. To me, the idea is off the wall a little bit, and I'm having trouble with it. I'll admit that I'm having trouble with the idea of setting up a place for people to come in and do something we don't want them doing, just so that we can save their life when they do it. Because that's the idea.
If you've got a city,
the naloxone there.
If you've got a big city and say you've got 10, I'm just pulling a number out of, you know, where. Say you've got 10,000 people that are doing this around the city.
Mm-hmm.
And you set up a place like this and now you've got 500 that are coming to your facility and mm-hmm. 9,500 out there. Well, you've just been able to have an encounter with 500 people.
Yeah.
It's like a step towards fixing this.
That's a really good point, actually, that they don't make in the story, but that I assume is part of it is that, yes, they come in with their drugs,
yeah.
ready to go into a little room and take their drugs.
Right.
But it gives you FaceTime with them.
Exactly.
And the opportunity to have a conversation.
They're not setting this up for a party.
Right.
You know?
But the part of me that's uneasy about it is the part that says, I'm not saying that you're condoning drug overdoses or that you're condoning people taking drugs, but I do fear that it's not going to have the effect of stopping the crisis like they hope it is. I think, are there people, and I don't know the answer to this.
Well, text line says we'll have to look into this. Overdoses in Canada dropped 65% with this program.
Yeah, we'll
we're
going
to have to
numbers.
Look into that,
yeah.
But that would be interesting.
Seems like a big number.
But then again, I go to the goal. What's the goal? Is the goal to stop the overdoses and stop taxing the medical system and personnel? Is the goal to encounter these people and say, hey, let's get you into some treatment so we can send you back into society as a productive member? What's the goal here?
If the
goal is one of those two or more, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I would guess also the goal is to stop a death before it happens. You have someone that is going to take drugs anyway. This is a place where they can come do it at least under supervision. My guess is that it's a combination of all of those. I just wonder, are you going to have some people who are just going to come in and just shoot up and then they know that, you know, they'll have naloxone there.
And is this for the shooting up of heroin? Is this for, you know, who are the people?
Right.
Who are the clients?
Right.
Rather, you know, who are the people coming in and what type of drugs are they using? Is this to target a street population? Is this to target the hidden opioid users, which are all among us?
I got to tell you,
know?
I am okay with police keeping an eye on this place a little bit. Maybe being arrested is a good thing for some of these people to get them off the streets and to get them the help that they need. So I think
maybe this is the help that they need, though. That's the thing.
Maybe.
Instead of arresting them, throwing them in the back of a cruiser, taking them to jail,
yeah,
putting them in jail and setting up their court dates and then releasing them, they're back on the streets. Maybe they just come here. I mean, this is like part of it under a treatment thing.
Right.
Do we need to start? Do we need to fill the jails with people that are users, or do we need to create plans and pathways for treatment?
Some of you are asking questions about who's paying for it. We can look into that. That's not in the version of the story I had, but it's a really good question that we will get to the bottom of here in a minute. Let's get to a couple of calls here. Jack joins us on the line from Kansas City. Hey, Jack, what do you think about this idea to fight the opioid crisis?
I think it's a good idea, but I don't think they took it far enough. I think what they also need to do is this, and they might be thinking about this in the future, but if they devalue the product, meaning if they devalue the heroin, meaning that they're able to give these particular people a good, the stuff that they are that they're addicted to, and they know they're getting a decent quality of it, a safe quality of it. At the same time, the price of it is so much cheaper than on the streets. You can actually process them as far as them getting weaned off of the stuff. That's the hardest thing, is getting them weaned off of the addiction. And the only way you could do it is the value of it has to be to the point to where the drug dealers can't make no money because the profit out of it is taken out of it. If you did that, then you can do the process of weaning them off of it And what happens is you not only are you saving these people from being from overdosing, but what you're doing is you're also killing a product that that's in demand on the same side.
So, Jack, you'd be in favor of legalizing all of the hard drugs and maybe even taxing them and trying to put out the illegal trade in it?
No, I ain't talking about legalizing all the hard drugs, but the stuff like the heroin and the opiates that you know that our kids are getting addicted to because of sports and having an injury. These are things that we could do the process of saving some of the good people that didn't have no intention on getting addicted to the stuff, but they got addicted to the heroin because they probably did not realize that the opiates was heroin. So they got hooked on this stuff, and now they got to go out here and get this dirty stuff in these streets. Well, if the government was to make sure that the product that they was getting was pure enough and purer than the stuff on the streets and cheaper than what's on the streets, what would happen is these people would probably get this stuff, and then you could actually take the value out of the drug at the same time, get these people off of the addiction. That's what I'm talking about. It might take a process, but we're spending billions and billions of dollars of putting them in jail and giving them these sentences with felonies when we can actually use some of that money to get them off this stuff, and maybe they can turn into law-abiding citizens.
All right,
it's
Jack.
It's all about taking the value out of the drugs.
All right, Jack. Yeah, interesting points.
Thanks a lot for the call, Jack.
Yeah, thanks
appreciate
for the call.
Appreciate it. Getting to the bottom of the funding, I'm looking at the statement from the city of Philadelphia in response to the federal court ruling. They are saying that setting up a site like this could save 24 to 76 lives a year. And that's what they are saying is the point of this. The bottom line is that overdose prevention sites, this is reading off their site, which exist in more than 100 cities around the world, offer compassion for fellow human beings rather than misguided incarceration that only perpetuates the cycle of drug abuse. Our job as a city is to support efforts to alleviate that suffering and to save lives.
And if you want to talk about the money, how much does a program like this cost? Let's think about the facility itself. What's the rent on the facility?
Right. The nurses,
for the year,
your biggest
staffing,
expense is people. Yeah.
All of that. So I don't know.
Probably insurance.
My dark place has got a lot of numbers. So let me pull out some more. Say the city spends $500,000 a year on this facility and staffing. Well, if you have some positive results from the goals you've set for this, would you make that money back and less costs with police and jailing and medical costs at the ERs and the ambulances and the medicine?
Yeah.
Maybe.
How do you feel, listeners, about the potential of city money going toward a program like this? It's really funny because, and Santino, we'll get to your call here in a second. Callers are in favor of it. Texters are largely against the idea, which is really interesting. And I'd love to hear from more of you that are against it, because what we're going to do now is we're going to watch Philadelphia. We're going to, because this is the first in the nation. So we're going to look at Philadelphia and see what the effect has been and to see if this is worth doing. All right. We need to get to a break. We'll get to the calls coming up next. It's 1245 on KMBZ. We're talking about the story out of Philadelphia. A federal judge has cleared the way for the city of Philadelphia to open the nation's first safe injection site for those who are abusing drugs. It's going to go in South Philadelphia. The city estimates it's going to save between about 29 and 75 deaths a year. And the way it works is people come in with their own drugs. They are given a safe place in which to take those, inject them, ingest them, whatever they're going to do. And then there are certified medical staff there ready with naloxone. So if they were to overdose, then their lives could be saved. Police have said they're going to back off of this site because you don't want it just to be a target-rich environment for people that for police to just then go and arrest people at the front door. As far as we can tell, this is not city money. It appears to be a nonprofit that's going to operate this. The city is going to provide ancillary support, but it is not going to operate this. Several hundred cities around the world already have this. This would be the first in the U.S. So there are attorneys in the city that are saying, even though a federal judge has said it's okay and doesn't violate federal law, that they are going to fight it and they are going to appeal the decision. And I'm kind of surprised that Philadelphia was the first place to do this, but they've got a pretty bad opioid problem there, and this is what they're looking to stave off.
And so they're thinking, well, this is a creative way. Let's see if this will work, because maybe all the other ways haven't worked.
Right.
You know, the whole arresting people, or the whole thing of wagging your finger and saying, well, just stop using it. You know,
yeah, that
maybe that's
work.
Not working.
That doesn't work. Yeah. All right.
So I'm looking into Safe House. It's a 501c3 nonprofit in Pennsylvania. Their mission is to save lives by providing a range of overdose prevention services. And it goes on to say that the leaders and organizers of Safe House, motivated by the Judeo-Christian beliefs ingrained in us from our religious schooling, our devout families, and our practices of worship.
Okay. Interesting.
At their core is the principle that preservation of human life overrides any other considerations.
Okay. I want to get to a couple of calls. Santino's been hanging on the line from St. Joe here for a bit. You are on KMBZ.
Hi. I just wanted to say I listen to you guys all the time.
Well, thank you, Santino.
Not a problem. And I think this is a great idea. I see the ups and the downs. I'm going on 5 months clean, so I know exactly how people are. There's been several times where I wish I had a place to, you know, do what I needed to do with somebody there to watch me. But when you're in that mind frame, most people don't want to get somebody because they don't want to share. So, I mean, that's the type of mind frame that you're in. And when it comes to the downsides of it, yeah, you know, the cops said they're going to back off, but are the dealers going to hang around? I mean, that's
a good question.
Yeah. That's the risk they have to take. But overall, I think it's good when it, you know, comes saving money, whether it's law, medical, morgue, I mean, everything.
Well, if this had been available to you, would you have gone to the place?
Definitely.
Really?
Would it have gotten you off the drugs?
I can say that if rehabilitation was brought to my attention, you know, on a daily basis, because that's how often I would have been there, I would say I probably would have gotten clean a lot sooner. I mean, there was a time where I didn't want to get someone to watch me to the point where I went to a particular gas station parking lot, used what I had to use, and I woke up a half a block down the road at a stop sign with a cop knocking on my window.
Huh. Hey, can I ask some personal questions?
Definitely.
What were you using, and why did you start?
Overall, I was using everything that I could find, but mainly heroin and like pain pills. And uh-huh. I originally started because there was a doctor in the area who would write me a prescription every day for pain meds because of my back.
Wow, every day?
Okay.
Literally every day.
So you're saying you didn't start out to be an addict?
No, definitely not. When I started out, I didn't even know that there was like a physical or mental addiction to it. At the time, my girlfriend, she would do cocaine and I would do it with her. And to get her to stop doing that, I kind of transitioned to pain pills, not knowing that in reality it was worse off than using coke.
So you're five months clean now?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Well, keep it up, man.
Thank you very much.
You
Good
can
luck
do it.
To you. So there was a story out of Canada. Some of you were mentioning Canada on the text line and the success that they've had there. And a couple of you have asked questions about what the other cities are that do this already. There are no other cities in the U.S. that do this. Philadelphia would be the first. There are about 100 cities around the world that do this already, but Philadelphia would be the one here in the United States. And who did the story here that I'm looking at? This is, CBC out of Canada. They did a really good rundown of how the sites work. And they're talking about a new one that's going to open in Saskatoon. When the doors,
it's always a fun city name to say.
Yeah. So when the doors open later this year, drug users will first walk into a small intake room where a worker will note what type of drug the person is planning to use. They come in, they take a seat, they get assigned a number. Then when their number gets called, they go into the consumption side. When the person is done, the table is wiped down and another person gets called in. Air intake ducts above each of the booths ensure fresh air is constantly cycling through. A separate room with windows that give a full view inside is for people who are smoking their drugs. The air intake ducts in that room are stronger than the ones above the cubicles, allowing for air in the room to be more rapidly cycled out. Paramedics will be on staff in case someone overdoses and needs help. The exit takes people through an AIDS drop-in center, which offers intensely family support, housing support, education on harm reduction, and a place to sit, warm up, and grab coffee or food. The idea is that people will know these services are available and accessible. It's in a neighborhood that is well traveled by foot.
All right. And this one in Philadelphia is starting off, I would assume, you know, kind of small, manageable. I mean, if they're saying this site could save 24 to 76 lives per year,
yeah,
I'm thinking, okay, it's probably a small venture to begin with.
Yeah.
And if it works, you expand.
Open more. Yeah.
Exactly. And you know what? Why not? Let's try it. What harm would come from trying this?
Mm-hmm. So the issue in Philadelphia a bit seems to be the way that this was approved. Somebody that lives in the neighborhood said the community is divided about welcoming the spaces, that the people that live around where you're going to put these don't want this in their neighborhood. And I'll be honest, I argue against a lot of that, not in my backyard stuff, but I do get that with this a little bit. I mean, you are bringing drug users together in one place.
Sure, but you know, do you want one injection site or do you want 65?
Well,
because those injection sites are all around your neighborhood anyway.
Yeah, but you're clustering everybody together. I get some of the opposition to where
because
you
they're trying
put
to do something about it.
Now, doesn't mean you have to put it in a residential neighborhood, though. You can still have them, just not have them.
Well, where are the users?
I don't know.
In the residential areas.
I don't know where they are. So
you don't set up your treatment center in an industrial zone where nobody lives, because then the users who are in the neighborhood aren't going to you go to where the users are.
So one of the neighbors here said, you don't take your kids to the daycare like I do. I care about what my children have to see at 6 and 10 years old, that I have to explain hard drug addiction. And I guess the city was kind of backhanded about it, that they didn't necessarily be incredibly public about it, which I could get why people might be upset than that.
Don't want to start a furor.
Well, but you're doing something that you know is going to be a bit divisive. I think the best way to approach that is to be as transparent about it.
You know what happens, though, when you put out an interesting idea into the public and all the headlines and the social media, and everyone gets flamed and the whole cancel culture and all that other stuff, and everyone gets all up in arms when they don't really know anything about the subject.
Well, and
you know how that happens.
But being sneaky about it doesn't help.
And that's not good either.
Help. You know, that doesn't help win people over. So.
No.
So we'll follow this one out of Philadelphia.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.